Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk. Rumble. Now it's live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Mr. Davis. I'm filling in for Lukewarm Luke Owen this week. We have the Dark Order's own John Silver, a.k.a. Chopper Pete Quinnell.
Hello. Hi, how's it going?
How do you feel about the John Silver references? Because initially, the joke was John Silver's a jobber. He's beaten all the time. Ha ha. But now everyone loves John Silver.
Yeah. I mean, he's super charismatic and super awesome, so I don't mind being compared to John Silver. That's fine. I will say, my Twitter mentions do get a little bit grating sometimes, because anytime John Silver does anything, someone tags me and be like, oh, Pete, I didn't know you did this thing. It's like,
Hey, it's the first time they're telling that joke. Might not be the first time you've heard it. Do you ever, has anyone said, I mean, I'm going to do an obvious joke now, that you've probably heard 20 times already. I think it's good. Chop Silver.
No one has said that before.
Are you just saying that?
No, I'm being legit. No one has ever said that. Well, at least that I've seen, no one has ever said that to me before.
What do you think? T-shirt? You thinking T-shirt? Mug?
T-shirt?
Mug? Can I get a mug?
It. Yeah.
Can I get a print? A print?
WrestleShop.com.
Mobile get phone cover. There
right
it is.
Now.
Chop Silver.
Yeah. Chop Silver. Done. Anyway, speaking of people that are in AEW, let's talk about AEW, where some people that were not in AEW actually made their debut on the show. Oh my God, it's the Super Elite. Isn't it going to be great? Let's talk about it.
Dear God, that segue was awful.
You're welcome.
For my money, top five shows they've ever done. I feel like I'm saying that every other week at the moment. I thought last week's Brodie Lee tribute show, which you and Luke very, you know, beautifully reviewed last Thursday. I don't think I would have been able to have done it. Was it you and Luke? It was you and Luke.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I, you know, I thought that was one of the best shows in a different way that they've ever done. The freaking Winter Is Coming episode at the start of December. Just... AEW, a year after their launch, just hit their stride completely with Dynamite.
Yeah, they've been on such a good streak lately. And I mean, it was already like good before, but there might be the odd episode here and there where you'd be like, I mean, it was okay. Some of the matches weren't great, but you know, it's built into something, that's fine. But since like November, December time, they've been absolutely killing it every single week now. And yeah, for you to say it's like a top five episode, it's like, that's some stacked competition. I know a thing or two about stacked, and that was stacked competition for to be one of the best Dynamite episodes. And yeah, and this is just night one of the New Year's Smash, because we've still got another one next week.
Yeah, I don't think next week's going to be as good. I don't see how they can be. That's not me, like, nagging AEW. I just can't really comprehend how they top this week. I mean, it's amazing that they put three all-time great shows, not just of Dynamite, but of wrestling TV, wrestling weekly episodic TV, as a genre. They've done that without fans.
Yeah.
How good would these shows have been with fans?
Oh, man. Imagine. Oh, I was actually genuinely thinking in this show, because you can hear, you know, the fans that are in attendance, the limited number they've got, you can hear them through various points on the show. And it just caught me at one point. I was like, oh, man, I just want full attendance again. Mm. Obviously, we can't have it now. I understand safety precautions and all that jazz. I'm not saying they should have full attendance back right now. But God, I miss like just chants and just people getting into like everything that happens. You know, like those really hot crowds that just get into every single spot of the whole night. Man, I just miss it so much.
Also, yeah, we'll talk about all of the show, what made it great, because it wasn't just the end angle. Just before we get into talking about the Super Elite, happy birthday, Chop Silver, from Giant Hogweed, 851 there. Giant Hogweed's 1 through to 850, already taken. Yeah. Happy birthday, Chop Silver! It's a new year.
Can't believe this is getting over. It's so dumb.
Producer Rich is like, is it actually your birthday, Pete?
No,
it's
Rich.
Always it's always his birthday.
It's never my birthday.
Well, Tony Khan makes me feel like it's my birthday every single freaking Wednesday night, or Thursday morning is when I watch it. Because after this excellent Kenny Omega, Rey Fénix match, truly, truly, truly great main event, you're like, okay, what, you know, there's 7 minutes left of the show here. I smell an angle or a huge beatdown. And that's what happened. Moxley comes out. He starts beating up Fénix. Fénix obviously lost. Omega beats up Fénix. Moxley attacks Omega with a barbed wire baseball bat. But who should run out to save Omega but the Good Brothers, the Impact Tag Team Champions, making their AEW debut?
Mm-hmm. Quizzlemania Tag Team Champions making their AEW debut. Yeah. So they came out and they just beat everybody up. They hit a magic killer on Moxley. And then the thing that really sold me on this angle, because I was like, okay, Good Brothers here. Like, it's still a really cool moment and I really enjoyed it. But, you know, it's to be expected. You know, Kenny Omega's come to Impact. You'd expect Good Brothers to go to AEW. But then everyone from the crowd, the wrestlers from the crowd, just started swarming in, trying to break up this beatdown of Moxley. And then they just started killing them all. Literally, they just run up on the onto the apron. They just knock them off. Every single person. There was just bodies all over, like, the outside of the ring. It looked so, so good. They looked great. Great at first Impact.
It was a great visual, and it was so cool to see them there. This was the angle we were supposed to get over a year ago with the first episode of Dynamite. It wasn't meant to be Jake Hager. The Young Bucks have since said, oh no, that was meant to be the Good Brothers and AJ Styles attacking the Young Bucks in AEW to start their era of TV. Now, just to be a little bit, this is so hypocritical, and I hate that I'm even saying this, but, you know, that's what we do here. JR said, because I was like, why isn't anyone coming out? You know, the whole idea. One of the great things about AEW is that baby faces help baby faces. And JR says, well, the reason they're not coming out is because they're so scared of the Good Brothers and Omega. And I actually was like, you know what? That's at least you explained it. I don't mind that. But then when members of the crowd started to get in, so it was Griff Garrison and Brian Pillman Jr., I was like, oh, but that... That completely contradicts that, you know, two of the sort of undercarder guys were tough enough to help out. But, you know, it is what it is. It was still an absolutely amazing segment. And like you said, it was surprising, but it was something we've seen coming. You know, we've been talking about this, speculating about it for ages. What I thought was just a brilliant layer on top of it was then the Young Bucks come down and they end up helping, but not in that sort of, well, he's getting hard in here, kind of heel reveal, as we've come to expect from AEW and the Elite storylines. It's far more psychologically complex than that. Matt and Nick Jackson are conflicted they're coming out here because they've got history with these guys. They didn't look like they wanted to be helping Kenny, but they did. And at the end, a very reluctant, too sweet to close the show.
Yeah, it was so, so good, right? I mean, just the history of having the five of them in the ring together doing the too sweet hand gesture, which for legal reasons they couldn't call the too sweet hand gesture. And correct me if I'm wrong, just as a quick tangent, you know when they got the cease and desist? Didn't they also get the cease and desist to do the hand signal? Isn't that a thing? Because it wasn't just the name. I thought they were banned from also, or, you know, they got the cease and desist for the hand signal as well.
It was on merchandise.
Oh, okay. Right.
I think that was that makes more sense. The specifics, but I imagine it would be like, because you can't ban someone doing a hand signal. You can't own a hand signal, but you
it's
can
WWE.
Own that. They're lawyers. But you can own that image on an item, like to be printed on an item of merchandise.
Okay, that makes more sense. It's just because I remember them not doing that after they got the cease and desist. So I was like, maybe I've conflated the two there. But anyway, yes.
WWE aren't so powerful that they can trademark bits of people's body. Yeah,
I'm sure they can. If they can find a way, they will. But yes, just seeing them doing the two sweet hand gesture in the ring again, in an AEW ring, all of them holding gold as well. The AEW tag champions, the AEW champion, and the Impact tag champions is like, what an amazing visual that is. It's so, so good. It just throws you right back to, you know, the pre-AEW days of, you know, when the Bullet Club was super hot in New Japan. So, so good. If you're going to be hypercritical about something, it's my turn.
Are you always complaining, Pete?
I know. I'm just so negative. Again, like I said, hypercritical. But for me, the timing of this was a little bit weird in that Young Bucks came out and I was like, okay, for it. And they're trying to reason. They try and just speak to them. As Griff Garrison and I think it was Brian Pillman that were holding Kenny, they go in and super kick both of them. But it happened almost like immediately. And I almost feel like it would have been better for them to just have that moment of being like, should we help? Look at each other maybe. And then go for it. I feel like it would have been a slightly better it's because it's not a reveal, but it seems like it was more of a big decision if they ponder it for a second and then do it. And of course the show kind of prematurely ended slightly because it was just a timing issue with them, like when they threw up the two sweet, the Young Bucks joined, but they didn't quite get to fully do it, and you didn't get the full impact of the thing before the show ended. Again, hypercritical because it was still awesome. But I just would have preferred the timing to work out a little bit better so it would have had the full impact. But that was just my view. But still awesome.
Yeah, I guess the camera work could have been better. You have some close-ups on Nick and Matt. They're like, oh. But it was mostly shot in just sort of a wide lens. But yeah, again, so hypercritical there. That is like... some stuff you can't even fix. They're producing this stuff live. That is something you could do in a post edit if it was pre-produced. But I just thought it was such a cool way to close the show. It just gave me something I didn't know I wanted so much. They did it before in the Elite storyline with Hangman Page and Omega, where, you know, I think it was Omega ran out to save the Bucks. And I was like, oh, that's great. They're getting back together. And then Hangman Page just wandered out too. And I'm like, oh, I didn't even think of that part. It's AEW do this all the time in such a great way. And after the show and sort of a post-match promo to Alex Marvez, Don Callis said, next week, the Elite are back together. It's Omega teaming with the Young Bucks in a 6-man tag on the show.
Yeah. And I mean, this even goes back to the very beginning of AEW. I mean, obviously they've got all the history pre-AEW, but even in AEW's own history, the first few shows before they had Dynamite, you know, Fight for the Fallen and Fighter Fest they had? That was some of the first few shows they had. There was the all of those tag matches where they had Kenny and Young Bucks versus others. I forget the name of the one that was at the con, the video game.
Oh, Calm. Yeah. That one.
It was Fighter Fest, yeah. When they came dressed out in their cosplay and all that jazz. So it's like that, even in AEW's own history, Kenny and the Bucks have so much of it. And just even playing off that is amazing. It's just, it's just, yeah, like you said, you have all these story elements that are just lodged into your brain that you just push back, and then they go, and what about this thing that you forgot about? And you go, oh yeah, isn't that great? Yeah, it's a great way to tie everything together and to make it make sense as well. It's great.
I've just seen this comment in the live chat from Kenny. He's got a question mark. And I actually think this is a good reading as well. I disagree with Pete. I saw it as them instinctively helping Kenny without thinking. Yeah. So it's like the Bucks just saw Kenny being manhandled. Boom. Didn't even think about it. Instinct. Super kick on Griff Garrison. I think both readings are valid. But yeah, just thought it was interesting to bring up. So they're having a six-man tag next week. Who do you put them against?
Gun Club. They both got club in their name, Ollie.
They're heels. You can't really do an Inner Circle one, although that would be big time. I'm trying to think of what else is on the card. The big money would be Hangman Page, John Silver, and Alex Reynolds.
But oh, that would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah. But I think you got to, surely you hold off on that. But, you know, it is a big night being the second part of New Year's Bash.
Yeah. But, I mean, some of the other trios that you'd think are already in action, or at least some of their members are.
I know it. It's Death Triangle. Because Kenny
Isn't Pac in action next week? I thought he was facing Eddie Kingston. Is he not?
Oh, if he is.
Am I wrong?
Does my Lance Archer then chucking a Lance Archer. He's always
Lance Archer
part now. But yeah, like, so, because obviously Omega took on Phoenix in this, but then the family beat up Death Triangle afterwards. Sort of, it was implied that Callis had some sort of hand in arranging that. But longer term, after next week, where do you see this going? We've got Hard to Kill with Impact next Saturday, so after next Wednesday's show. And then, you know, you've got a five-man group if the Bucks stay with them. We never got that Blood and Guts match.
That's true. You're not wrong. Oh, man. I don't know, because you kind of want them to be this ultra-dominant faction for a while across AEW and Impact. Who's going to stop them?
Hangman Page.
It's got to be Hangman Page. It's got to be Hangman, right? Because it's like, we all thought it was already had Hangman versus Kenny, and we can't wait for Hangman to dethrone Kenny down the line. But it's going to be Hangman dethroning Kenny at the peak of the Super Elite. Like, that's...
No, the Super Elite would win. But you can sort of beat Hangman Page in those multi-man matches and still have Page versus Omega as something down the line.
That's what I'm saying. It would be Hangman versus Omega down the line, and he would dethrone Omega. That would be kind of the downfall of the Super Elite, and Hangman would be the one to do it. And that would be great, because this, not even all the history that they've got with Hangman and Kenny, which they've already been building up for the eventual Kenny Hangman stuff before all this Super Elite stuff happened. But then you've also got Hangman being part of Bullet Club, part of all of the history with them before.
And also the history of the AEW championship itself. Hangman Page was the first ever challenger for that belt in the inaugural match. It's a story that spans the length of the promotion as top title as well. I love it. I freaking love this company. I've been so happy all day. And I was so happy last week. Happy in sort of a sort of poignant way, you know, after the Brody Lee tribute stuff. I haven't really spoken about it on here, but I've never seen an episode of wrestling TV done like that. And it's, you know, it's got to be the greatest tribute show that's ever been done, quite comfortably. It was tremendously powerful. And then to sort of go into this, and I love them. I love AEW. Call me biased. I don't give a crap anymore.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot.
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Thank you to our wonderful $25 a month or more pledge hammers on Patreon, who get loads of exclusive content and podcasts. And they also get their own nickname and a shout out on this show.
They do. And also, if you head over to our Patreon, if you are a $25 or above Patreon backer, the suggestions for WrestleTalk Extra for this month are up. So you get to suggest what you want to see Mr. Davis and Luke Warm review for January. And if you're a $5 backer, you get to listen to it when it comes out.
Gotta be a rumble, surely.
Almost certainly.
Right. Thank you very much. Cheap pops in the comments, please. The roller coaster, Robert Acosta.
Woo! Thank you very much. Also to Ronald Coleman, baby!
Thank you very much. The blacksmith, Jason Smith.
Woo! Yes, woo. Thank you very much. The mayor of Painesville, Dan.
Woo!
Dan.
Thank you. Dan. Ryan B. Bad.
Woo! Yes, thank you very much. The British Bulldog, Philip Boy J. Smith Jr.
Yes.
Woo. Thank you.
He can last Sean for longer than you in the ring.
Woo! Thank you very much. The Cleaner, Kenny Shaw.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Ryan Disco Stewart.
Disco Stewart. Thank you very much. Shield Maiden, the Zornice. Woo! Woo! Thank you very much.
Rocket. Dan Van Sky.
Woo! Thank you very much. And finally for today, Rob Steiner Recliner. Woo! Thank you very much.
Let's look into the Hyper Chats. Get your Hyper Chats into WrestleTalk.com/support. We will read out every single one of them before the end of the show. Scott Young says, imagine if Vince wasn't such a boring old man. Then we'd get the Messiah and the Tribal Chief saving Moxley. Then we would have Shield versus the Elite and the world would be a good place.
Imagine that. Oh my God. Imagine a world where we could get Shield versus Elite. It won't happen. I mean, even if Vince isn't a boring old man, they're in different companies. Like I doubt they would work together in any stretch of the imagination. But just imagine though.
Of all the adjectives to describe Vince McMahon, boring is not what I would use. Jobber JJ496. Hello lads, Quizzlemania was great. LOL, Mr. Davis. Chad Gable. Did you hear about this?
Nope.
let's move on then. Speaking of Quizzlemania, the Quizzlemania Tag Team Champions just invaded AEW. Gallows saying to Mox, how many rounds are there?
Yep.
Did he say that? Did I miss that?
No, but imagine if he did.
Looks like an invasion to me. Elite versus TNA stars in Blood and Guts. I think the story, especially if it's an AEW-hosted show, which it would be, it needs to be the Elite versus AEW. I think that story is... You're talking about a different story if it's an Impact invasion of AEW. Why would the Super Elite care about Impact stars invading AEW? They care about themselves.
Yeah, totally.
Bacon Rasher with sort of a... Everyone send your thoughts Bacon Rasher's way here. Hi, lads. Sorry I've not been here recently. Sadly, had a COVID loss on the 27th of December. Thank you for the support you give just with the videos that helped me get through New Year. Do you think Tama Tonga would welcome Super Elite back to the Bullet Club, or is that done? Jam that jam.
Well, firstly, thoughts your way, Bacon Rasher. And secondly, I don't think he's all that excited about it. I don't know. I mean, he did a tweet of him just like shaking his head at a tweet from, I think it was Gallows that tweeted out the picture of the five of them together. And he just did a shaking head gif in response. Because he's just kind of stayed with Bullet Club as everyone's kind of come and gone. Tonga's just still there, you know, repping it, still going strong. But I think people benefiting off the Bullet Club's name without using Bullet Club's name is probably something that riles him up a little bit, yeah. If I had to guess.
Sat. Unpopular opinion, the Impact tag belts are just as bad, if not worse, than the WWE ones. I'm guessing he means by design, not the actual prestige of them. Besides that, both AEW and NXT were incredible shows last night. I'm very happy. What a way to start the new year.
Yeah, I haven't seen NXT, but I've heard very good things about it. Yeah, seems like it was also a great show. Although it looks like Kyle O'Reilly and Finn Balor may be injured again from their title match. Maybe just take it down just a little bit so you don't get injured in your title matches.
Yeah, but it's a work, guys.
Yeah.
Do they know?
Yeah.
Logan Heath, all I need in my life right now is Adam Page and the Dark Order versus Kenny Omega backed by the Super Elite. Please, just please. Matty Makovsky, hey guys, Bullet Club for life. That main event was freaking awesome. 5 stars. And oh man, the reveal of the five of them together and the two suite was just fantastic. As to where this goes, I have zero clue. Would love for you guys to fantasy book this real quick.
I think we kind of already did
with the Blood and Guts, Hangman Page, Dark Order.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, me and Luke last week were saying, like, where does Dark Order go from here, really? And we said, well, they've got to be baby faces, like, just straight up. Having them align with Hangman and trying to get down the Super Elite, that's amazing. That's a great way for them to go.
It's perfect. Aaron, Buck should show up at Hard to Kill. I definitely agree. Leon Quashy, wow, what a debut for that ammunition gang. Extremely saccharine. great show, and NXT was great too. That's the second chat that's done that. More of that. Both shows can be good. AEW's great. NXT is great. We live together. Beautiful, guys. Johnny Dangerous. Good Brothers looked amazing. Death Triangle versus Omega and Good Brothers would be amazing. Jam that jam. I reckon that will be what happens next week unless Pac is tied up, like Pete says. Michael Dominguez. To argue your hypercriticism, Chop Silver, Buck's immediately super kick to jobbers holding Kenny was a reaction when someone hits your friend. They did that with mini Shield reunion at Survivor Series when Ambrose, Reigns, and Seth on different brands.
Yeah. I totally understand people viewing that way. It was just my initial reaction when I saw it was like, oh, I would have preferred them maybe to do this, but yeah, can totally see that.
I think both interpretations are equally valid. Benny Boy 004. So Young Bucks show up at Hard to Kill to help Omega and Good Brothers and set up a tag.
Oh my god!
And set up a tag match against Motor City Machine Guns.
Yes,
that's what they want. That's what they've been tweeting about.
Yes, of course. Yes. Come on. It's too perfect. They can't not do it. Come on now. It's got to be.
Thank you, Tony Khan, for having so much money. you're doing what we all want to do.
Yeah.
You're playing with everyone else's toys. Christopher Jazz Cat. Oh, sorry, Bobby Stevens, Kenny and the Bucks versus Motor City and Rich Swann. They got the Good Brothers one beforehand. I think that would be a bit weirdly repetitive, but I prefer the Benny Boy one. Christopher Jazz Cat. So, Pete, usually Jazz Cat swanders in with a terrible hot take. So
yeah.
let's brace ourselves.
Okay, here we go.
The Bucks and Kenny have got to go against SCU. Ah, that's a good idea. They set it up this week with Daniel saying he won't team with Kaz again if he loses. They said that they would always be there for the Bucks. Now the Bucks have turned.
Exactly. They said, yeah, they'd be for them unless they're challenging for them for the AEW tag titles. I think, yeah, that's a good direction for SCU. I think that might actually just be a thing for Super Elite to get even more super duper over as a heel group is split up SCU, beat them and have them split up.
Yeah, totally agree. I would like that to see that further on, though, because you want to tease out this Bucks. Are they with them? Are they not? Sort of vibe for at least for a
totally.
King Mark 53 revived Four Horsemen versus Super Elite feud. Yeah, get a bit more Bucks FTR action.
Sure, yeah, why not?
DX Solo, who gave a fantastically generous donation last night on Quizzlemania. Allison and my dogs were fast asleep on the couch. Allison's DX Solo's wife. At the end, I managed to keep my excitement quiet. But when the Young Bucks helped Kenny, I pulled a full Tom Cruise and leapt onto the couch and shouted, scaring the crap out of them. I'm in love.
So good.
I like that. I've never gone full Tom Cruise. Mm-hmm. You never go full Tom Cruise.
No, never.
The Jam one, Ryan B. Jam, just two more. Don Callis never said Kenny and the Young Bucks for the six man. He said world tag team champs, meaning it could be Good Brothers with him next week. And I'm pretty sure he said the Bucks.
But
I watched it this morning. I could be wrong. He said, well tagged. Bold prediction, Anna Jay and Dark Order at some point will be champs this year.
I hope so.
Yeah. R2C Godoy, I believe the Super Elite won't last all that long. I think the Good Brothers will interfere on Young Bucks versus SCU when that eventually happens, which will piss the Young Bucks off and start a feud between the two teams, ending with Kenny aligned with the new Impact AEW champs, the Good Brothers.
I mean, I wouldn't want them to do that because I'd want the Super Elite to last longer. This feels like a much bigger deal than a short-running storyline. However, the idea of the Good Brothers holding the Impact and the AEW Tag Championships is also pretty good. And also the Quizzlemania Tag Team Championships, which is the most prestigious of the bunch.
Triple champions. Mm-hmm. Get a bit to have those four belts draping from them. And then the little crappy
2D trophy, yeah.
Finally, James Hanley, my wife is new to wrestling and didn't know who Gallows and Anderson were when they attacked. I had to tell her that they were Southpaw Regional Wrestling Zone, Tex Ferguson and Chad Too Bad, and then she recognized them.
Of course.
Smart. Well, getting all of your hyper chats to wrestletalk.com/support. We will read out every single one of them before the end of the show. But for now, let's get on with the... Well, actually, should we say thank you to everyone who was on last night's Quizzlemania stream? Because we raised almost £7,000 overall for the... oh my God, I forgot the name of the Brodie
Mayo Lee. Clinic.
Mayo Clinic, which was the place that treated Brodie Lee at the end there. So that's enormous. I'm sure that's going to help them enormously. Thank you so much, everyone who donated. Someone donated £1,000, which is nuts.
That's bonkers.
Yeah, thank you. And that means Tempest has to get Jam That Jam tattooed on his arm.
Yep. Yep. It'd be great.
What a babyface hero.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. Does anything for the fans, that guy.
Yeah. Anyway, right, last night, the show opened, and I hope Jim Ross opens every episode of Dynamite with this line from now on. It's Wednesday, You know what that means.
Yeah. Every show has been doing that lately. I know Raw did it immediately afterwards, and I think SmackDown did it, and last week's AEW. I just hope that AEW keeps it of all of them, and they just keep that as a running, standing thing going forward. That'd be great.
Beautifully subtle tribute to Brody. I thought the commentary for the entire show was awesome. I love Chris Jericho. I get if he could be obnoxious to some, but I was in fits of laughter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's very good. And you wouldn't think a four-man booth would work, but they all it just works. When it works, it just works.
What do you make of Jericho? You know, he's sort of shouts a lot. Do you like it as a... I haven't really spoken. Because I love it.
Yes. I get the feeling that at some points in the show, it grated on me, but I now can't think of any examples of that. So maybe I'm just wrong. Maybe it's just like, they're only very minor instances, because the things I'm thinking of are the very funny things that he says and how he puts people over and all the positive things. And I actually can't remember the negative things, so they're probably just very minor.
Well, the opening match was the Young Bucks and SCU versus the Acclaimed and Hybrid 2. I thought, you know, this was a good way to raise up the Acclaimed and Hybrid 2. But it was mostly just a showcase for the Young Bucks, which they really should be the way they are the tag team champions.
Yep. This was great. Really good fun action. I actually really liked the Acclaim's rap beforehand, despite with John Cena's and You're the Jannettis. That's not a... That doesn't work. They were never a thing together. But yes, no, the match itself was actually very, very good. Really fun. And yeah, loads of playing off the history of SCU and Young Bucks as well, which is great. With the finish of both of them helping. It was great.
Yeah, I love that. They were setting up the Meltzer driver, but Nick was decided to do this sort of fake out moonsault to the outside. So Daniels hit the best moonsault ever into the Meltzer. Brilliant, brilliant combination move. And yet sets up that story perfectly for when, you know, you've got to think down the line in the next month or so, these two teams are going to have to, one of them is likely going to split up the other. Because after that, Kaz cuts a promo, reminds everyone about the next tag team match loss. They're going to split up. And Daniels wants to go for the belts.
Yeah. It's great. I love the stipulation of them saying next time we lose, we're going to split up. I think it's going to make a lot of... it will make what could be a somewhat mediocre story. It adds an extra really intriguing layer on top of it. Yeah, it's very good. Much like the rest of the show, it's very good.
What do you get a show that's already got everything? You get him a goddamn monster truck. A monster truck turns up backstage. It's really just a bit to promote the Go Big talent show, which is the reason Snoop Dogg was on the show to cross-promote it. It's on TNT. Cody's a judge. I thought we were going to get more monster truck.
I don't want more monster truck. I'm sorry. I don't want more monster trucks. As a concept or on a wrestling show?
Pete, they go broom broom. I used to be taken when the monster trucks came to town every year. They came to town near Dartford every summer, and I would go despite having crippling hay fever because they kicked up a lot of dust and allergies into my eyeballs. But I loved it. I was crying most of the time, but I loved it. After that, we got John Moxley making his return. I know he did the promo for Brody last week, but this was the first full-on appearance of Moxley since losing the belt a month ago. Boy, I've missed him. And he cut a really good promo.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, that the amount of like fire and stuff that he delivers with, his cadence is so unique to Moxley. It makes him such a person that stands out just with his promo style as a whole. The way he kind of goes more intense and then backs off a little bit and talks very quietly and slowly and then comes up with more fire again at the very end. It's so, so good. And yeah, just really got across his point that he might be helping Phoenix later in the night if Kenny tries any shenanigans, which was nice to keep him kind of sort of involved in the AEW title picture and keep him as, you know, high up on the card. It's great. Really good promo.
They're doing a great job of positioning Moxley. even though, you know, he's a tweener, he does break the rules, but he said, he's violent, kind of is what I mean. He said he wants to protect the integrity of the belt. And I thought that's based on how he lost the belt to Don Callis hitting him with the microphone. I think that's just such a simple story to base this all around. I cannot wait until they fight again. Like, talking of long-running feuds and ideas and arcs with Hangman Page earlier, the Moxley Omega story, it's been going since Double or Nothing 2019.
Yeah, I was...
You get like an installment every 6 to 8 months. Mm-hmm. That's long-term storytelling. Not doing the same match for four months.
I know, yeah. That's Moxley's debut in AEW. Mm-hmm. His very first night in the company. That story's still going.
Forever linked. Yeah.
Yeah. But before we move on, I saw an idea in the chat. Ollie Authority Monster Truck? Can we get one?
I mean... Does everyone get a pay rise or
we get a monster truck?
Ooh, monster truck. After that, we got Dasha talking to Chucky T and Orange Cassidy. Unfortunately, Trent Beretta suffered an injury, pectoral tear.
Partial pectoral tear, I think.
He's going to be out for 4 to 5 months, which sucks because Trent is awesome. He's been brilliantly protected on TV, like he always gets those showcase moments. So Miro and Kip Sabian sort of go up to them, Josh, and Miro, Chucky T sort of rashly challenges Miro for a match, and if he loses, he will become Miro's young boy. Young boys are what they have in Japan, to sort of do everything for the veterans. It's how you sort of become a young lion. So you've got to work your way up, and you know, you literally wash their clothes, you give them massages, shower them, I don't know. So I think that could be quite funny if Chucky loses. I want Chucky to lose.
Yeah, I kind of do. And then I'd like him to stay the young boy for the next 4 to 5 months. And then Trent comes back and saves him from that. I think that would be the way to go.
That is the way. Trent has to have a match to save Chucky T.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. That's the way. Yeah.
Up next, talk about a show that's got everything. We've had monster trucks. Now we get monster men. Wardlow versus Jake Hager was awesome.
Yeah, so good. Like, big beefy lads doing big beefy things. I'm always for. That's great. Athletic big beefy lads doing athletic big beefy lad things. I'm even more into that. I've not seen all that much of Wardlow. Like, from the first, like, video package that I saw of him and his debut with MJF, I was like, okay, so he's a big lad. Cool. Got it. In more recent times, though, goodness me, he's very good, isn't he? He's very good. Just, like, his sheer athleticism and just, obviously, the power that he's got, but the speed as well is absolutely, like, insane. And he's really a good technical wrestler as well. He's genuinely got, like, and he cut a pre-match promo in like a little cutaway screen just as the match was starting as well. I was like, man, he can cut a good promo as well. I was like, man, Wardlow's like, he's really got some strong potential in him for the future, for sure.
Yeah, they really choose their moments. I think that's a big part of how he's gotten over, because we're kind of conditioned over the last 15 or so years. Oh, there's a big guy. Great. They're going to get all the opportunities. When AEW have taken a very different tract. There's the big guy. He's already good, but we're going to keep him in the background for a long, long time, even though he can go. That cage match with Cody impressed everyone. That was his debut. He had the tournament match where he was incredible. Like, that was a brilliant match. And I remember the closing line for that match when Wardlow won. JR said, a big man who can move like that is money. And you felt like JR truly believed that, like,
mm-hmm.
more than anyone, almost. Wardlow is one of the most exciting young stars AEW has. And I'm like, you know, Jungle Boy, MJF, Wardlow. So this was a huge win for him, because Hager is massively protected too. Wardlow has got a great record. Oh, that's another thing. Because it's a new year, all the records are reset. The rankings are reset. So,
yeah.
That one loss against Cody from 2020 is wiped, as it were.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought this was a really good match. Wardlow hit a Swanton Bomb, a really impressive F10 at the end to win. And yeah, Jericho being on commentary, the inner circle, the rest of them watching from the ramp, I loved it.
Yeah, it made so much sense. It literally, as you mentioned in your edited review, it's like the inner circle were just like, okay, we've got two big beefy guys who've got a bit of tension. Let's let them it out in the ring and we can all move on. We're all pals. Let's just let them have a fight and then we're all good. And it was just like an honor-based thing. After the match, they both fist bumps, you know, that it wasn't like any sort of like, oh, the inner circle splitting up kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then later on, which I'm sure we'll come on to, MGF cut a very sincere pep talk for Hager in the back as well. It was like, so everyone's still getting along. It's just like, they just want to be really good at wrestling, which is what you want. So it was great. It was perfect. It made so much sense.
We can talk about that backstage bit now because Hager was angry. MJF goes in, does the pep talk, and Hager said, I was ready to deck you when you walked in, but actually, thank you very much for those words. There was no like, oh, but actually, I didn't mean it. Facial reaction shot from MJF. It was done sincerely. And when MJF joined the inner circle, I was like, okay, I know the wrestling. Yep, they're going to break up. But AEW, even though I know that's going to happen at some point, AEW have now made me invested in MJF and Wardlow in the inner circle. The inner circle is now includes them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just they just are in the inner circle now. And I think it works so much better now because you've got Jericho that's on commentary more than anything else. I think him kind of taking more of a backseat role in the inner circle and allowing MGF and Wardlow and all the other guys to shine in the inner circle, I think is going to be great. Mm-hmm. And they still positioned the very, you know, the front and center mouthpiece as MGF of the inner circle with all these moving parts around it. It's great. It's very well done.
Yeah. Well, as my second favorite match on the card would have been my favorite if the main event wasn't there. Mm-hmm. We got Private Party backstage. They've got the gin. But where's the juice? Hey, it's Snoop Dogg. He's turned up. Here's some juice. Snoop Dogg's on the show. There's Snoop Dogg.
I love that Snoop didn't really get what was happening. He's like, here's some juice. And they go, juice, yeah, you're the best. And he's like, mm-hmm. I'm just going to stand here now a bit. Yeah, it's cool. I'm going to stand here while Matt Hardy talks about some other stuff.
That's what I want. That's what I want from Snoop Dogg. Just standing there being Snoop. Yeah, Matt Hardy, what is he? Is he their manager? Is that the idea?
Yes.
Agent?
Sure. One of those.
He's worked out a contract for them and they get to keep their own cameo accounts. A jab at the WWE stuff, of course.
Yes.
So probably like the weakest segment on the show is the next one. Not because it was bad, just because it's kind of a bit fillery, a bit repetitive. Mm-hmm. Since Sting debuted, he has mostly just come out to look at people. And he did that for a year in WCW in the mid-90s, and it was very successful. But I get the sense of it's a bit of a treadmill situation. It was a weigh-in for Brian Cage and Darby Allin. They'll have a TNT title match next week. Brian Cage weighed in a full 100 pounds heavier than Allin. Team Taz are going to do their usual beatdown, but Sting comes out. And they don't.
Yep. It was okay. I liked that at the very least Taz cut a promo during like Sting's entrance. His music was still playing and Taz was just like, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of you. Next week, we are going to see a new TNT champion, which was nice.
He didn't just say, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of you. He said over and over again, I'm sick of snow.
Yeah.
Snow. It's goddamn snow. He was cutting a promo on the fake snow.
And one thing we didn't mention as well is there's a new TNT championship design because they retired the old one last week to Brody Lee's son. So yeah, new title design, which I think is better than the other one.
Yeah, it had a black strap, didn't it?
Yeah. It's got a slightly different plate as well on the front, which I think looks better personally.
It's probably not finished.
No, probably not. Never is.
But yeah, that it was just more of the same. It wasn't bad. It was entertaining. It just wasn't one of the best things in wrestling I've ever seen, which is the best of the show. And then we'll get the MJF bit. Marco Stunt challenged FTR next week in place of Luchasaurus. So it's going to be Stunt and Jungle Boy versus FTR next week. Mm-hmm. Then we got Matt Sydal versus Cody Rhodes.
Also, a very good match, I thought. Not quite as good as, you know, Wardlow versus Hager, but still a very entertaining match. Shockingly, both of them are very good wrestlers. And yeah, just allowing them to have their time and get their spots in was awesome. Really cool athletic stuff from Sydal. Cody just like bringing the pace down a little bit of the Cody showboating with the press ups and stuff through the match. Really, really good. And then he ended up winning with two crossroads. And Snoop Dogg was on the outside doing some calling like a baseball match. Like he was calling moves for Cody to do.
He was doing Arn Anderson's role. So
right.
He was sort of, you know, like whispering plays. Like you should do this next time. You know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun gimmick. Also, Snoop Dogg rapped, did a pre-recorded rap over Cody's entrance music. It was all, yeah, like you said, really solid match, really enjoyable match. I really enjoyed it, to be honest. But it was all a setup for some sports entertainment. We've had monster trucks. We've had eight-man tags. We've had hoss fights. Now we're going to get a celebrity doing a splash. Because in the match, Serpentico at ringside, whose entire role, it seems, in AEW, is to be hit by errant strikes in the crowd. Is hit by an errant strike in the crowd, wouldn't you believe? And at the end of the match, Cody is jumped by both of them, but I even called him Bourne then. Sydal and Rhodes beat up Luther and Serpentico, which set up a Snoop Dogg top rope sit down splash.
Sit down is right.
Step down.
Step down and fall onto him, yes. I'm not going to rag on Snoop Dogg too much. He's not a trained wrestler. He shouldn't be able to do an amazing splash. This was what it was. I'm going to be consistent with my views across this. I don't care for celebrity cameos in WWE, and I don't care for them in AEW. I will say for this one, it's not damaging. It's not, you know, it wasn't too intrusive. It was fine. It was a little spot at the end of the match, and that's fine. I just don't particularly care for it. That's all.
He didn't then challenge for the top title.
Yeah, there's that, yeah. And he didn't, you know, make some of your top talent look like jokes or anything like that. He didn't, you know, interfere with a chair in the main event of SummerSlam between Seth Rollins and John Cena. You know, stuff like that. That's really weird. He didn't do any of that, but it was fine. Took up like a minute. It's whatever.
Sports entertained. I loved it. It was fun. And, you know, you're a wrestling promotion. You are schlocky in your very core. You do have to do these sort of weird cabaret, media-grabbing things sometimes. That visual, Snoop Dogg on the top rope, you can share that around social media. You can put it on the front of websites or ESPN. You can get coverage there. It's an incredibly smart play. And we all get to say Snoop Dogg went high.
Yeah, he did. That he did.
Joke in my review. And just, you know, like, you've had all that. I've already talked about the variety so far. Then we got a really well done horror match.
Abaddon, not Abaddon.
Did I say it wrong again?
I don't know. I'm just saying in general, Abaddon. She is terrifying. I don't know whether I've been on a podcast to talk about it yet. She is terrifying. God, she's so creepy. Genuinely, it's the most like legitimately scared at a wrestling act that I've been. She is horrifying in a really good way. This was awesome. I mean, it even started off really hot. Sheeta coming out and smashing her over the head with the kendo stick, and she just sat up straight away from it. I was like, okay, that's cool. The whole biting thing that she's got going on is awesome. I don't know what kind of makeup or thing they're using, but she bit Sheeta's leg, and then there was already like loads of like stains and stuff all over her leg immediately. And I was like, okay, that's cool. I'm into it. And then there was a little bit where she pulled her under the ring, came out, and, you know, blood pouring from her mouth, and Hikaru comes out like holding a neck, massive like wound on her neck. I was like, this is creepy. This is real creepy. I thought it was really well done. I really, really enjoyed it. Sheeta managed to eventually fight back. She got beaten up for the vast majority. But she managed to come back, hit her finisher, which I forget the name of. It's the Shining Wizard knee thing, and then wins.
Yeah, it was probably the most horror you could do realistically in a wrestling match. It never veered into supernatural, which I personally prefer. I think that's the perfect balance.
Yes, 100%. And even the commentary were just like, you know, it's solid wrestling technique from Sheeta, because there is still a human in there somewhere kind of thing. They're not saying that she is a monster. She's saying she's a person. She's just a really messed up person.
Was it a specific stipulation? That's the only... Because, you know, you're not allowed to bite people usually.
That's why it was under the ring. Apart from the leg one.
Well, I guess. Back was turned. But, you know, the blood pouring from people and the bite marks.
But ref didn't see it, so it doesn't count. That's how it works.
I don't know where these bite marks came from.
You got blood in your mouth from that. No.
It's like it's the kid in the kitchen with the chocolate smeared all around the... Where's all the cookies gone? Oh, so you're just going to believe that kid then? That's what the referee did.
Yeah.
But, you know, that isn't hypercritical. That's critical. That's a genuine criticism. Just make it no holds barred or something match.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I thought everyone came across well and Abaddon lost, but I didn't feel like she lost anything. I feel like she can come back on another day and challenge again.
Mm-hmm.
Tainara Conti did a promo for her NWA title match against Serena Deeb next week. Dark Order all out there. You know, John Silver, Alex Reynolds, and Anna Jay. Maybe they win it.
Maybe they win it. Wouldn't that be something? Because you could have, if you really wanted to push Dark Order more, we had this, you know, the Super Elite storyline going on. But you could have Ty Conti as the NWA champion, and you could have Anna Jay as the AEW women's champion. If you wanted to push them to as kind of like, you know, the forefront of the Dark Order, backed up by Silver and Reynolds and people like that. I think that would be cool.
I think, and no disrespect to them, but you probably want better workers as your champions, because Sheeta and obviously Deeb are fantastic. But Conti and Jay's like so early on in her career. Like, I think it's been wrestling less than a year.
I think she started in 2020, yeah.
And Conti's very young too. So you'd have to put them in with people who could help carry the matches. But yeah, maybe an idea. But the main event, as if we didn't have a brilliant show so far.
Oh my God.
The mega versus Phoenix. We've talked about the angle at the end of the show, but the actual action was, I was expecting a schmoz. I thought we were going to get some interference at the end, some shenanigans, Don Callis getting involved, maybe the Good Brothers in the match. No, it was just Kenny and Ray having a banger.
Yeah, it was. I mean, these two have already faced off several times before, and every time we go, oh my God, they're so good. And I was watching this match going, oh my God, they're so good. Because I don't know what it is about the chemistry that these two have. It's the same as like Omega and Pentagon as well. It's genuinely incredible. Omega just, I love a bloody Snapdragon. Snapdragon on the outside, so good. Amazing spot, V-trigger into a kip up from Phoenix into a super kick. It's just, oh man, so good. Like, Phoenix's athleticism off the ropes is just amazing. There's like five Hurricane Runners a minute. I genuinely don't know what else to say, because the spots were so, so good. I love this match. It's been a while, because I generally just watch SmackDown, and sometimes, you know, obviously this week I've watched Raw and all that jazz as well. It's been a while since I've been sitting down and just, I've been literally marking out watching the show that I'm aiming to review. If I'm sitting down and watching a pay-per-view or something, it's a bit different. I'll watch it with a different mindset. But when I'm watching someone to review, it's very rare that I'll sit there and be like, oh my God, that spot's amazing. And I'll be like, I was doing that for this match. It was so good. Oh, man.
I was a full half hour late today. I've got quite a tight turnaround in the mornings. And I was half an hour behind schedule because I kept replaying spots.
Mm-hmm.
And showing my lady partner, I was like, watch this, watch this. Have you seen this entrance? North Carolina. And she was like, what does that mean? Is that where he's from? Is that... No, he's from Canada. Damn, I've really confused her. This is not fighting my corner well. But yeah, it was absolutely fantastic. Just echo everything you've said. And well, I think it was mostly Phoenix. Not that it wasn't Omega, but Omega was really generous to let Phoenix show all of his spots and really get him over and make him look strong, while Omega lost nothing. And I think that's your classic old school heel champion. When Ric Flair would go to different territories back in the day and he would make your guy look, you know, your territory's babyface look great. And you'd be like, oh my God, he's going to win. But ultimately, Ric Flair wins. You know, but not in like a frustrating way, like, oh damn, he is just that bit better, but next time our guy can get him. Like, and if that's what Kenny's got in his head as this modern day territory system where he's going to go from promotion to promotion and do that with people, it really is business changing. Everything they said in November and December is coming to pass. It just didn't happen on the hours after they said it. How dare they? They just gave us a pack return. Spoiled.
Yeah.
Overall, I think it's one of the best shows they've ever done. I almost gave it 5 out of 4. But I thought I've never broken a scale before, so I gave it 4 out of 4.
Yeah, that would have been controversial. I think it would have been acceptable on the Winter is Coming episode, but maybe not this one. Mm-hmm. But yes, yeah, it is a 4 out of 4 show. It was amazing. Like, all the matches, there was quite a few of them, and all of them were really good. Or amazing. Yeah. So the angles were great. The matches were great. What else can you say? It's a great show.
Brilliant. Well, we'll get to all your hyper chats very shortly. Remember, get them into wrestletalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one of them before the end of the show. But first, the music is incoming, folks. The weird music that plays in the live chats at the end of the show. Producer Rich has just told me. Producer Rich, rather than the cheap pops way we do, can we have like the Hall of Fame music when we do the pledge hammers?
That's really good.
And we can just, we won't clap and stuff, but we'll just go, the roller coaster, Robert Acosta. And we'll go,
That works for every single live stream you do. Do you know what one's not live streamed? It's a SmackDown one, isn't it? It's my one.
Oh, you can add it in post.
But that means I have to edit it.
I used to give them Hall of Fame rings.
I know you did.
I thought that was a pun. Right, let's do all of your hyper chats. Remember, get them into wrestletalk.com/support. Last few minutes, cool there. Nate S, random thoughts. Number one, Jay White debuts to help Hangman versus Elite down the line. One seems to have quit the club and one was exiled. B, Callis recognizes Kenny as the true world champion, even while on his own Impact show. Just a heel move lessens the Impact title.
I think it's just a heel move. It makes a lot more sense for Callis to recognize Kenny because he's affiliated with Kenny a lot more. It makes a lot more sense. I mean, and in reality as well, AEW's the bigger show out of the two. So like it makes sense for him and just as a heel as well. About the Jay White stuff, I would doubt it. I think Jay White is just like it's a kayfabe. He's quit New Japan. He's not going to impact this story at all, I wouldn't think.
I agree on Jay. I also think you never devalue anyone's world title. I think that's quite, even if it's, no, I don't like that. Alan Metz, I think the Young Bucks didn't join Kenny and they come to their senses and it becomes Hangman and the Bucks versus Good Brothers and Kenny. Jam that jam. Happy birthday, corporate. Birthday, chop chop silver.
There's an extra chop in there. I don't.
Chop chop silver. Yeah, we talked about that as one of the possibilities. Just another excellent way it can go. Blight Patterson, with how this is going, you think this could lead to Dark Order versus Super Elite, with Hangman being part of the Dark Order, seeing it as seems Bucks may actually go heel and Dark Order seemingly becoming face, or at the most a grey area faction? I think that's what I want most right now. Yeah, I agree.
Me too, 100%.
Charles Berg, before I say my only issue with the Abaddon match, here's some backstory.
Abaddon.
I take care of dogs for a living. Some are very aggressive. I've been bit in the face and shoulder. So I can say this from experience, Sheeta would have been pissing blood if bit.
I think that's the hypocritical stuff, saying they didn't do enough blood that wasn't constant enough because she didn't actually bite her.
Yeah. Just a little nibble.
Yeah.
Loved the... Oh, Pandulce. Loved the episode. I did have two small issues. Jericho going back and forth, being face and heel on commentary was confusing. I disagree. I thought he handled it superbly and weirdly consistently. I know that sounds... I think it worked. Also, I hated how abrupt the women's championship match felt. Just seemed like it ended quick and the build was for nothing.
It did end quick. I'll give you that. There wasn't much offense from Sheeta. It was like, okay, she's hit a move and she's hit a finisher and she's won. But it felt more, it was more like a, it was almost like desperation because Abaddon was so in control and she just managed to hit that one move and win. And if she didn't, she would have been in trouble kind of thing. I think it worked for what they were trying to do.
Yeah, I agree. Joey the Tyrant. Hello, Mr. Davis and Chopper Pete. I hope the Odd Authority is doing well. We are with the Jam That Champions. I am. If there had to be a different star to the first person to kick out of the One-Winged Angel besides Hangman, who should it be? Have a wonderful day, Jam That Jam. Jungle Boy.
I mean, Jungle Boy, you reckon?
If it had, it should be Hangman or Kota Ibushi, but if it's not.
Yeah, Kota would make a lot of sense if it is.
Well, he's already kicked out, Pete.
Yeah, but in AEW. Mm.
Carol Ones, Trekkie 386. Hi, Carol. Hi, Ollie and Chop Silver. Here is my Omega chat for today. What match are you most looking forward to next week? AEW Night 2 New Year's Smash. For me, it's Darby versus Cage. It's going to be the main event. Going to be great. Love the new TNT title. Very classy. Ollie, is it Gable, Corbin, or Ray? Jam That Jam.
Which one is it?
It was none of them, apparently. Next week's match, yeah, probably Darby versus Cage, but that's more... It's not so much the match I'm looking forward to. Now, match-wise, I'm looking forward to the Super Elite Six-Man, but I'm interested to see what Sting finally does, and I think it might be in that match.
Maybe. I don't even know if Sting's going to do that much. It might be a baseball bat hit.
Mm.
And maybe that's it, I reckon. If memory serves, I think it's going to be Pac versus Eddie Kingston. And if that's happening, that one, because I want to see that.
Talon, if you could build a wrestler from the ground up, it would look like Wardlow, not Randy Orton. Yeah, Orton's a bit too lanky, isn't he?
Little bit. Wardlow's big, beefy man, very athletic, very attractive man. Yeah, it's Wardlow.
Brett J. Rasmussen. What a way AEW has started off the new year. I marked out so hard with the reformation of the Bullet Club, and I can't wait to see Miro versus Chuck and see Chuck becoming Miro's young boy. Did you know that monster trucks go vroom vroom, Chucker? Chopper? Trucker. Chopper.
Jesus Christ. Can't give me two nicknames in one stream.
But did you? Did you know they go vroom vroom?
I have been informed that yes, that is what they do.
The AdNat 2, should AEW be joking about Twitch and Cameo when Zelina Vega lost her job over it?
Maybe not. I did think it was a bit late on the whole thing as well. It's like that thing is not that it's not relevant anymore, but like the news was a while ago. It seemed weird to do a little jab at WWE for seemingly nothing. It wasn't like a resurgence of the story or anything.
I think you should be able to sort of make jokes about difficult situations, so I think it's totally fine. Some letters in kanji and katakana, which I don't know how to pronounce because I don't know. Actually, I don't know the kanji. Niroko. Hey guys, didn't get a chance to watch last night. Trump supporters were breaking into my state capital. Anyways, did you catch Shingo versus Jeff Cobb at Wrestle Kingdom 15? Match of the year candidate. Also hope all is well. I heard England has a new COVID strain.
We love those. I haven't seen the match yet, unfortunately. I haven't managed to see any of Wrestle Kingdom, which I really want to. I think I might see if I can do it this weekend. Catch some of the big ones. And that is definitely on the to watch list.
I've seen Shingo Cobb. It is amazing. I've seen Ospreay, Okada, and a few others, but I'm watching them all tomorrow. Sort of got my afternoon because I've been
nice
catching up on everything after Christmas. But thank you for the well wishes. Gazzatola of Rock and Roller, I try not to get drawn into the hype and rumours, but Ibushi announcing he's unifying the titles really has me believing the Forbidden Door has opened on the sly, and Belt Collector Omega will be heading back to New Japan. Also, Kenny versus Phoenix, oh my effing god!
Yeah, I'd love to see Kota getting involved in this story with Kenny. Mainly because I bloody love Kota Ibushi, like, so much. In the same way that you love Cody Rhodes as a brother, I love Kota Ibushi. If you're going to have any more history and story to add to it, Kota would be the man to include in this. So yeah.
It's going to be where they're going. It might not be this year, but this has got to be the end goal. Dartrain 24, Ollie had a great Quizzlemania showing last night. If great is defined like it is in MAGA. Also, Goldberg will open trying to spear Drew and will get hit by a claymore harder than any door. Jam that jam. Tattoo that jam.
Sorry, phone was ringing. So.
I think that's a good booking of the Drew match. Dartrain.
Yes.
Christopher Jazzcat, Dynamite was great. Omega versus Phoenix was really good. I felt for Omega on that suplex. Yeah, God, that backflip into the German. Favorite matches from Wrestle Kingdom: Okada versus Ospreay, Naito versus Ibushi, Cobb versus Shingo, Ishimori versus Takahashi were all amazing, but it was White versus Ibushi for me.
I've heard White versus Ibushi was amazing. Yeah, so I'm really excited to watch all of those, really.
Right now, maybe Okada Ospreay, just because I love Ospreay so much. But I'll get back to you next week when I've watched them all. Bacon Rasher, the love from the SWAF Nation. We heard from Bacon Rasher earlier. Sadly lost someone over Christmas to COVID. The love from the SWAF Nation is amazing. The wrestling community is great. But the WrestleTalk community, you cannot beat. Thanks everyone in the chat. And thanks WrestleTalk for helping and supporting more than you can imagine. Hashtag Quizzlemania Wargames. Jam the jam.
Wow. Damn that jam. Quizzlemania War Games. I don't know.
Do we have it on two different channels?
Or no, you have two teams that are locked in shark cages, and every so often one gets released to help their teammate out for questions.
So it starts with the two people in.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Maybe one day.
Yeah.
Blight Patterson. Last question. What WWE wrestler would you like to see in AEW? This can also be a tag team or faction. AJ Styles,
has to be. Like, it's either him or like Adam Cole. Those are like the top two, really.
Yeah, you're right there. There's a lot. Finn Balor. Any major Bullet Club name?
Any Bullet Club people, really?
Although, you know, actually, Kevin Owens. I love Kevin Steen.
I'll
let you see us home.
For sure. Some rest talk chats here. The Zornice says, just saying, you have to update your Twitter handle. Qualifies that as a Datsun World problem. And happy birthday, Chop Silver. It's not my birthday. Thanks, though. DX Solo again said, hi ho, Chop Silver away. Happy birthday. And something that Jen has taken out. That's fine. Charles Berg says, from my dog care business, my clients always give me sweets from their countries. I'm from Brooklyn, FYI. I finally got to try some British candies. Crunchy Rocks and After Eight were very enjoyable, but most of the Cadbury stuff was sadly very plain.
I suppose if you're used to Hershey's, which, has the vomit taste, then normal nice chocolate can taste plain. Crunchy Rocks? You think that's a stick of rock?
It's either a stick of rock or it's like a crunchy bar.
Or heroin.
Could be heroin.
Heroin or crack cocaine in rocks. Going by what men whisper to me when I walk in Camden. Okay, you want to buy a rock? Mm-hmm. No, thank you.
Yep, all good. Christopher Jazzcat comes in again with also another terrible hot take. Happy birthday, Choppy Choppy Silver. Let's not make that a thing. Let's stop that. I've seen a lot of people talking Forbidden Door with a Jay White thing. I took his comments as a being legit too banged up from Strong Style. I think he's just going home for a bit. Monster Truck Go Broom Broom. Can we get Monster Truck Go Broom Broom on a t-shirt?
Hey, if people like the Broom Broom Maybe that's the On Authority official slogan.
Monster truck, go broom broom.
On Authority, go broom broom. And then it'll be a monster truck with all me and you in. Not Louis, because Louis freaking turned on us.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere. Also, we love you, Christopher Jazz Cat. You're our AEW pal. We're only joshing if anything comes off as silly.
We've got one more here. Monochromatic Vice says, just a helpful reminder to everyone, you deserve nothing but love, success, and happiness. If someone tells you otherwise, then they can currently screw right off. Also, if you are suffering from depression, please know that there are people who are willing to listen. Absolutely, I agree. Thank you very much.
And if you want sort of like professional help on that, you can go to wrestletalk.com/support each other, and we've got loads of resources all around the world, lots of different places, sort of mental health charities and organizations that'll be local to you. So yeah, go and check that out if you're struggling at the moment, because it's lockdown again.
Yay.
But we'll get through it together. We got through the first one. This one will be easy.
So I've got an email here for you, Mr. Davis. It says, hey Ollie and Luke, you may remember I emailed in a few months ago as I'd seen Quizzlemania 17, then went back and binged the rest. I'm also the chap who insisted to use Rock versus Triple H Backlash 2000 as the match to show newcomers. I'd asked my non-wrestling fan wife to support WrestleTalk and get me some merch from the website for Christmas. Well, I'm pleased to say she did a fine job and not only got me the special edition COVID magazine, but also the Jam That Jam hoodie. I explained the reason behind it, but she lost interest. Needless to say, Jam That Jam. Thanks for all the content and keeping me happy through these rough times. Regards, Dave Parker. P.S. Listening to the Christmas show as I type this, it's rubbish, but great fun.
Christmas show went down well. Mm. It's the sort of thing like, you know, if we were more analytics driven, we go, hey, that was good. People like that. And we would make the mistake of thinking people want that every week. And we would do it and we're running into the ground.
It's WrestleTalk After Dark. We do that every month on Patreon.
We don't give presents, though.
That's true. No, that's that. I'm sure that was the main selling point of the Christmas special, was the Secret Santa and not any of the other stuff we did.
Yeah, well, we all got each other actually genuinely quite nice things, apart from Andy, who decided to troll. Was it Louis he got? He got Louis the sports team he doesn't like and the sports player he doesn't like.
Mm-hmm. Andy, the master of reading a room, got a joke gift where no one else did. Classic Andy, really. And no, it was still nice.
You got me that crap present the year before, but Andy got me a crap present the year before that.
Mm, he did. You were on a streak of crap presents, apart from, you know, when I broke the streak because my present wasn't crap.
No. But thank God I got Abby this year, social media Abby. She got me a genuinely really interesting book about all the comic book characters that were just dropped.
Yeah? Have you been reading it?
I have, because I might use it. I might use it as sort of research in my next story.
Ooh. I mean, I don't think you've explained on the podcast what your first story is.
No, I haven't, and I won't yet. That's under wraps.
Okay.
But I finished the first draft like I said I would. 75,000 words, 2 days before the year ended. So I dossed hard. Spider-Man, Miles Morales, all the way around Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
Completed that quickly.
Oh, very good, very good. Do you have an idea for your next one then? Because you said you might use it as research.
Well, they say you should. So first draft of the other one, that's gone in a drawer. I don't look at it for 2 months. So I get fresh eyes when I look at it and I can go, wow, that's bad. As opposed to like when you look at it maybe 2 days after. You're like, I'm such a genius. I love everything I've done. And then it becomes harder to self-edit. So they say in the interim, write a short story. So I was like, okay, I'll write a short story. Hey, wrestling. I could probably put that, you know, we've got a magazine. It one way to become a published author is to just have your own magazine.
Step one, get a magazine. Step two, write.
And I pitched the idea. Well, actually, you know what the bad thing is? I didn't even say the idea. I told the editor of the WrestleTalk magazine, I'm thinking about writing a short story. Is that something the magazine would be interested in? And right away, they were like, yes, yes, I want to please you. So now I don't know if it's actually a good idea. I pay everyone.
Well, I think you should maybe write it, wait 2 months and see if it's any good and wait for, a couple issues down the line, maybe.
Well, should I give you the basic idea?
You definitely should. Okay. It feels like a podcast exclusive here.
It is. I haven't told anyone else other than Anna. And she, going by the expressions on her face, doesn't care. Because
okay,
her
cool.
phone comes out when I'm mid-story. I'm like, oh no, this is important to me. But I can't look like I care that much.
No, of course
not. It's a weird dance. Anyway, okay. There's a 16-year-old kid. He has been training to be a wrestler for the last couple of years. He is Lucha Danger. That's his character. But we open on him talking to the mask of Lucha Danger, and he's like, I'm too old for this. I'm 16. I'm going to be leaving school soon. I need to get a real job. Tonight, even though it's like a trainee show, I'm going to pack it in. I'm going to retire Lucha Danger. I'm going to kick this wrestling habit, this childish pastime, and I'm going to grow up. And he decides to do that. This is going to be his retirement match at the age of 16. And he's at the top rope. He sort of second guesses himself. Are you looking at your phone?
I legitimately, because someone messaged me, I'm turning it over, so I'm not looking at it right now.
You're going to give me a complex.
Genuinely, it's because Rich messaged us a thing. So it looked important, so I had to check it. But now I'm turning my phone over so I can listen properly.
I don't think I can tell you anything.
But I need to know more about Lucha Danger.
Can't believe that's like a psychiatrist falling asleep in the session with someone who's afraid they're boring.
Hey man, that's not fair.
I can't believe you didn't even do that as a joke. It was a serious thing.
I wouldn't normally. It's because it flashed up and it was our editor Rich who runs the stream. It's very important for us to check messages from him.
Okay. Anyway, he's doing his retirement match. He does a move. He screws up the move because he second guesses himself. He gets knocked out. Everything goes black. He wakes up in a land called the Kayfabe, where all of the dropped gimmicks that anyone's ever had live. And they sort of compete in a battle world to be promoted to the main roster of existence.
Okay. It's a lot to take in for that.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it could be fun.
What is that, not a good idea? Because then I get to do like sort of stupid fan fiction comedy.
Yeah.
With all the dropped gimmicks of wrestling.
Yeah.
Heel John. I've got Heel John Cena in it. He's just called Heel John, though, for legal reasons.
Of course,
he was really cynical, because he was so... Uh-huh.
Was he still wearing jorts?
Nope. I don't know, actually, because the gear he got designed was like the amateur wrestling gear, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
When he was going to turn heel that time.
Yeah, that one time.
But yeah, the whole, he's all about my time was now. And now
yeah. I am.
And he's really jaded, but he's got a heart of gold deep down, maybe. Oh, might help him. Might help Steve and Lucha Danger. Oh yeah, Lucha Danger is now a separate character. So the main character has to sort of deal with this gimmick that they were going to drop. A metaphor for their own childhood.
Ooh. Okay, now you're hooking me in. Like the thing of, knocking someone out and waking up in kayfabe was a bit weird, but I'm in. I'm sold on it now. That actually sounds pretty good. I like that.
Thank you.
Now it's your turn to check your phone while I explain something. Because I did a thing yesterday that I was actually quite proud of. It was getting creative. Is I shot a sketch video, which I've never done ever. And like I wrote out the whole script and everything, got it all ready over the last few days, and I was like, I think I'm just gonna shoot it. Let's just see if I can make it work. And I was really quite proud of it because the spaces were really, was really tightly confined, and I had to get quite creative with how I lit it and do all the camera angle stuff. I was playing four different people in the sketch. So I was like, I had to get different outfits and camera angles and all that stuff for everything. And I think it worked all right. I'm going to edit it at some point, maybe tonight or tomorrow, and we'll see how it turns out. Quite excited, though.
Oh, amazing. Is that a Warcaster thing?
Yes, it is, yeah.
What's the sketch idea?
So it's a I haven't even got like the proper title down or anything, but the premise is it's a Dungeons and Dragons party with two monks in it, because monks are notorious for, thank you for checking your phone, appreciate it. Monks are notorious for
Luke's gonna have a tooth taken out on Monday.
And he needs hour.
I think he needs more than an hour.
Yeah, maybe.
Sorry, I've all these messages. I've just
come through. Just so many, just racking up out of nowhere. Yeah. Monks are notorious for rolling lots of dice in the thing. So having two of them is much worse. So that's the premise. So anyway,
I like sketch videos.
Yeah. I'm just hoping it's on the thumbnail. Actually funny. I don't know. That's the thing. I've not figured out the title and I've not figured out the thumbnail, which really are the first two things you should really think about.
Yeah.
But you know, I'll figure it out later. But the thing I'm most terrified of is putting up and people being like, yeah, it was okay.
or if
someone's like, that wasn't funny.
Yeah. Well, that will happen. One person will say that.
Yeah. Or just like, I don't get the point of this. Where was the jokes or something like that? Mm. It would be like, cool. But I'll see how it goes. I think it went okay. It looked a lot better than I thought it would on the framing. So that's already step one. Anyway, that's all the time we got for this episode of the AEW podcast. Thanks for listening, everyone. I'll be back on Saturday tomorrow for the magazine show because Luke is off this week. We're going to have Adam and Denise. They're reuniting for the magazine show tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Saturday, I'm back with Andy for the SmackDown review. Then we're back to normal. Luke's back next week. We're going back to all our normal content. So yeah, look forward to that. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. We love you very much. Stay safe. Take care of each other. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.